Well, today, dear friends and dear church family, we have a message from the Word of God, really for all those who are running away from their Maker, running away from their God, like we see in Jonah, in today's passage in Jonah. Now, Jonah, of course, was no unbeliever, was he? He was a true believer in the Lord. He believed. He is the one that feared the Lord. And he was no less than a prophet of God, a spokesman, a messenger of God to the people. But his reaction really shows us, however, it reveals to us a fundamental truth about those of us who are already Christians and those of us who remain on the constant run from our Maker. And so firstly, let me address those of us who are already Christians. Like Jonah, you and I, of course, are called with a holy calling, aren't we? We are commissioned when we truly come out of darkness into light, when we truly have trusted in Christ as our Saviour and born of the Holy Spirit. We have been called with that holy calling. We have been commissioned by the King of Kings. We are now utterly dedicated to Him. We are commissioned to live for Him, like Jonah. And like Jonah, great honour has been bestowed upon us. Great faith and grace and mercy and love has been put upon us, which compels us, each and every true born-again Christian, to serve the Lord out of love for everything that He's done for us in our lives. Now, like Jonah, there can be times in every Christian's life, really, in every Christian's walk, spiritual walk by faith with the Lord, where He calls you and I, not audibly, but through His holy word and through the Holy Spirit, and of course through other Christians as well, as great witness around us, to serve Him with everything that we've got, to serve Him in private devotion, to serve Him in the context of a family, to serve Him in the local church, a true Bible-believing church. He calls every one of us who are truly converted and commissioned in His service to be absolutely consecrated and dedicated out of love for Him. This is our calling. We're commissioned by the Lord to do this. Now, Jonah, in times past, he was found faithful, wasn't he, to God's callings. We know from the whole Council of Scripture, especially during the reign of Jeroboam II, which really, he was a prophet really of mercy, that he brought, his prophecy really was that of success and restoration for Israel, especially along the coasts. But now Jonah was called by God to go to that great city of Nineveh. It was a huge city. It was, as it were, the superpower of the day, part of the Assyrian Empire. It was one of the greatest, if not the greatest cities upon the world. And this city had been completely overcome with violence and wickedness. It was ripe, wasn't it, for God's judgment? It was also a Gentile city, wasn't it? Which at the time, as we know, was part of the Assyrian Empire. And it was this great city with thousands of young children there as well. And so, really, God said, I want you to go to this Gentile city. I want you to proclaim the word of God, to cry unto them, to cause them to repent of their sins. And what do we hear
that Jonah did next. He did the exact opposite, didn't he? He was told to go to that city, that great city, 3 days' journey over wilderness and mountains to that city. And what did he do? He went the complete opposite direction, didn't he? Towards the coast, towards Joppa. Not only that, he wanted to get as far away from this duty that God had called him to. He wants to get to Tarshish, which of course is in Spain, isn't it? Israel is on one side of the Mediterranean, and Tarshish in Spain is at the completely the other side of the Mediterranean. God says, I want you to go through this way, go that way. And what does he do? He goes the complete opposite way, doesn't he? And he knew that God is the God of the heavens and the earth. He knew that he could not flee from the presence of God. He was fleeing from God's calling, from his reasonable duty and service to the Lord, to get him as far away from his duty in serving the Lord in this particular calling that God has called him to do. And so the trip, we know, was a long one, and it was a dangerous one. And the city had been completely overcome with wickedness and violence. We think if God has called it, if God has declared war upon it, as it were, it was like, I suppose, like Sodom and Gomorrah. It was ripe for God's judgment, wasn't it? And Jonah really did not want to go to this Gentile city. He really also did not want to go to it because he had a zeal for the children of Israel. He wanted to, especially after the previous successes, he wanted to give the bread to the children of Israel, as it were. He didn't want to give one crumb to the Gentiles. He had a zeal for the house of Israel. And he had a natural prejudice against, of course, the inhabitants of this wicked city, overcome really with wickedness. He thought really that these inhabitants were not really worthy, really, of God's salvation. And, dear friends, he also really knew, didn't he, the character of who God is. He knew the character of God, because in chapter 4, verses 1, when the Lord causes him to do this great work, rather reluctantly, I might add, he says, I knew you were a kind God, a merciful God. I knew you were all exceedingly kind and merciful. I knew this is your character. I knew really, if you caused me to go all this way and to preach to them, I know there's a cause behind it. I knew they were going to be converted. I knew they were going to repent. And this is a man of God here, friends. And as a prophet, Jonah really also knew, didn't he, that if he went, really, that this is God opening up the door to the Gentiles, as it were. He was a prophet, of course, so he would have known from Scripture. And prophetically, he would have known that this was the Lord opening up a door to the Gentiles. God be merciful. And, of course, this would be the downgrade in Israel. He knew this was also because the children of Israel had neglected their God, a bit like he was neglecting God here. And, dear Christian friends, I speak as well for myself as all of us here, and all of us who will hear today's sermon. Let this be a lesson to us who are called with this great holy calling, who are called Christians. Sometimes the Lord calls us to do things which go completely against our natural prejudices, our conveniences, our natural comforts, as it were. And we can try to run away from God, from our reasonable duty to serve the Lord with all our hearts. You see, sometimes God calls us to be part of wonderful things, and they're great blessings. And sometimes God calls us to do things which are not so pleasant to the flesh, which going out, as it were, into the high streets and the byways, calling sinners to repentance, undergoing much scoffing, undergoing much deriding, much shaking of the finger, as it were, even by people who call themselves Christians. This happens. Sometimes we as Christians, we're called to do things which really, before our converted days, we would never dream of doing, which we really would be hated by the majority of people. And dear friends, does this not speak to us in our comfortable Christianity we see, which is engulfed in the West? So many Christians are just not spent for the Lord anymore. So many Christians do not care, really, for what I would suggest the three main parts of being a Christian. That is, be a Christian in private with the Lord. Love the Lord. Live for Him every day. We see that right throughout Scripture. To love God with all your heart, privately, praying to Him, reading His Word, studying Him, knowing the mind of God, crying unto Him. And in our family, devoting our houses, consecrating our houses to the Lord. This is not my house, this is God's house. This is, He can take it away any minute. Our house is completely dedicated to the Lord. And what about serving the Lord fervently with a true Bible-believing church? I want to serve the Lord. And I know, naturally, I don't really want to. The flesh is trying to pull me away. Even many comfortable Christians will say, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be dedicated to the church to serve the Lord, to be part of the Great Commission. But God's Word, doesn't it? It compels us to, out of love. If we know anything of the salvation of the Lord, if we know anything about God's calling and Great Commission, commissioning in our life, surely we who were once lost must have a heart for the lost around us. We must put aside our natural prejudices. We must seek that which is lost. We must pray for a heart like our Redeemer, our Lord. Oh, friends. My friends, I don't point at anyone here. I really don't. Because I know I have been found guilty of this. And the Lord has through His Word, through His Spirit, through much wrestling, and through other people have said, Lee, you can't do this. You've got to live for Him in every area of your life. Let this be a lesson to us. Don't run away from God in your duty, your reasonable duty of love to Him. We can learn, don't we, dear friends? It says in James, doesn't it? James 4, verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know that which is good, if the preacher, the ministers are saying, this is what's good, from the Word, from the authority of the Word, and we're reading in the Bible, this is what's good, the Holy Spirit convicts us what is good. Even providence at times lays us low and says, you're not obeying me, you're running away from me. When will we listen to God? And yes, for some time, providence may shine upon us. It may seem favorable to us, like it did with Jonah for some time. And we think, well, I've gone all the way to Joppa. I'm going in a complete opposite direction to when I know what God's called me to do. And, oh, this is a ship going to Tarshish, as it were, all the way, miles off. And we can think, well, God's let me off this time, hasn't He? He's let me off. And it doesn't really matter that I'm not obeying Him in this area. How foolish we can be, dear friends. We think he thinks, well, do you think I'm such as one as thou? That when I call you to do these things, that you could just do what you want. Oh, dear friends, we must learn, truly, from these things. You know, for a time, Jonah must have thought, really, that his calling, which was a difficult one, from what he was previously used to, that he was all right. That he got away with his disobedience. He got off the hook, as it were. So, like I said, circumstances favored him. Things, for a while, seemed to go all right, didn't they? And he found the ship, and notice, God did not at this point put any barriers in his life. He's a true believer and he loves the Lord. No barriers to him. And yet it would seem that the Lord actually is opening up doors here. Here's not like a ship, like that's a fishing ship that's just going along the coast. No, this is a ship that is going to Tarshish. It's going as further away from its duty as possible to the Lord, isn't it? And isn't this true of us, dear friends? We can think, well, all these things are opening up to us. The Lord's not so displeased with me after all. Oh, dear friends, there's a storm on the horizon, isn't there? There's a storm. And what happens? He gets on the ship, he pays his fare, doesn't he? And no doubt he didn't get much sleep whilst he was doing that. First thing he does, of course, he doesn't want to sleep and be reminded through the Lord of his reasonable service again. So he must be tired at this point, and what does he do? Goes down into the ship, pays his fee, and he snoozes, doesn't he? There he is, at ease in Zion, as it were. And remember, this is a prophet of God. This is God's spokesman. This is a person who's supposed to point people to Christ. And yet, look how he's compromising himself with those who also are very ungodly men. It's like all his convictions have gone out the window. These men were completely ungodly people. They were idolaters. And they had many other gods. They could have been Chaldeans, they could have been Arabs, they were calling upon their gods. They lived in the things of this world. And so, biblical separation completely went out the window for him here. Nevertheless, there's Jonah, isn't it? Sleeping when he should be crying and serving the Lord and calling people to repentance. And we all know really what happened next, don't we? The Lord raised up a storm, didn't he? A tempest against that ship and against Jonah. It wasn't just against that ship. It was against Jonah, wasn't it, dear friends? And really, Jonah ended up being made a public example, a disgrace, a public shame, really, dear friends. When the storm came and God raised up a storm against the ship and against Jonah, all the other ungodly men were calling upon their gods and they were throwing things from the ship. Throwing all the valuable things that were taken to Tarshish and throwing it all away. And do you notice that? It's when men are really truly in trouble for their lives. How the things of this world don't mean a single thing to them. All those things they've labored for in life, just cast off. It's not going to mean anything to me now. Just cast off ship, as it were. And they suddenly became very, very serious about their life and their soul, didn't they? Crying out to their gods, as it were. You see, there's no atheists when you're in dire trouble, is there? When you're in this amount of trouble, you suddenly really are crying to your gods. But did their gods hear them? They did not hear them at all, did they? And where's this person? Where's this peculiar person that's with us? The shipmaster goes down into the side of the ship where Jonah is slumbering, as it were. What are you doing, O thou sleeper? Get up! We're going to die! What are you doing? Sleeping. Falling asleep. You call upon your God. We've all been calling upon our gods. They haven't helped us one bit. Call upon your God now. If so be that yours be the true God, call upon him. And of course, Jonah knew deep down that he the reason why these things were happening in his life. Oh, what a shame for a Christian, for a believer, to be admonished by an unbeliever, really. That's a real shame, isn't it, when we Christians, and I put my hand up, I've been there before, when we Christians, when we neglect our duty and an unbeliever points it out to us, are you a Christian? Ought you not to be doing this and that? What a shame. What a black mark upon our profession, upon Christ, friends, when unbelievers rebuke us. And that's sad to say,
I believe that's why Christianity in the West stinks so much, as it were. It's like we've been vomited up, isn't it? It stinks so much because Christians really are not being Christians, are we? And the world looks upon Christians and says, they're just as wealthy as us. They're doing the same things that we're doing. And it's a shame, dear friends. It is an absolute shame. And these things teach us. We can learn from these things, dear friends. And so let this be a lesson to us who are Christians. It never pays to disobey God's callings in our life. When we read in God's Word, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, when other Christians are saying, when ministers, when this whole great cloud of witnesses are pointing us and saying, you're not doing that which is right, you're not serving the Lord. You should be serving the Lord with everything you've got. And that's why we see so many people falling away, don't we? So sad, dear friends. Let this be a lesson to us Christians, dear friends, to have a very sensitive heart and conscience for God's calling. Now, Jonah's backslidings were momentarily, weren't they? But this cannot be said, however, of those who remain constantly on the run from God in an unregenerate, in an unconverted state, that are running away from God. They're a runaway slave to their sin, running away from God, running away from His Word, as it were. Not wanting to be under the preaching of true sound ministry. Not wanting to read their Bibles. And me and my brother this week, even, on the doors. So many people won't even look at the person. Won't even want, I cannot hear the Word of God. Even knocking upon doors. Christians would not even hear us. I'm a Christian. Oh, let's talk to you. Slam the door on us. It is a disgrace, dear friends. And so many people, even people who profess to be Christians, running away from God in their life. They cannot bear, really, can they, the true word of God. And so, dear friends, I now turn really to those who are still in their sins, still running away from God in an unconverted state. In the words of 1 Peter 4:18, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? If the righteous scarcely be saved, well, where shall those who run away from God and reject His words, where shall they appear in the end? You see, friends, by nature, we are all on the run from God and His Word because of our sin. That's our Maker. We're running from our Maker like Esau did, like Cain did. We're rebels. From God. We know deep down, don't we, that there's a God? It's obvious that there's a God. We see all around us that there's a God. We've got a conscience that tells us there's a God. There's something wrong. There's a God of all power and all wisdom. It's obvious, isn't it? But every day we hold the truth in unrighteousness. We suppress it in our lives. Then we push it down. I don't have to hear the word of God. I want to live for my God. So I want to live for myself, as it were. We push it down. We suppress the truth in unrighteousness, running away from God in our lives. And like Jonah, but not momentarily, we seek to distance ourselves from our Maker, don't we? Oh, if I just do these things, if I just get these entertainments, if I just get money and get riches and pleasures, and if I just entertain my eyes, I don't have to be still and think about God, and think about death, and think about eternity, and think about these great truths and lies. I know deep down there's a God, but if I just make sure that my senses are always entertained, I don't have to think about my Maker, as it were. And friends, this is what we do, all of us, by nature, before conversion. We seek to distance ourselves from God. We're running. God says, go this way. I compass you about with so many witnesses. Preachers are sent to call you to repentance. The word, your conscience, the, everything is pointing to me. It's calling you. And we seek, as it were, to run away from God. Why are you running away from God? Friends, is there any here that are still on the run from God? Well, any who will be listening to the sermon, are you still on the run from God? Why? This wasn't me for years, friends. I ran from God for years in my life. You know, the Lord is saving people all around me. My brother Jason converted. My sister, some years later, converted. My mum converted. People telling me about the Lord. No, I won't have it. Still on the run. As it were, I'm going to give myself to the booze. I'm going to give myself to this. Running away from God, as it were. And the Lord provided all these cloud of witnesses around me. Oh, dear friends. Jonah's momentary disobedience here is very telling of how unbelievers react, isn't it, to God's precious word. God says one thing, and we do another thing, don't we? God says, seek first the kingdom of God. You know, one day, that there's a day of judgment. You know, I'm a God of love. I want to bless you. I want to save you. I really do. But I'm a God of justice. Sin must be dealt with. I have to punish sin. No sin can get into heaven. Your sin has to be dealt with. Don't run from me. I want to bless you. I want to save you. He says, seek me. Seek me first, life. I'm the giver of everything that you have. I'll bless you. Seek me. Seek me in the Bible. Pray to me. Cry to me. Seek me in the Bible-believing church. Seek me with all your heart. And you'll be found in me. And as with Jonah, friends, how many of us ignore God's prompting, God's callings in our lives? God's saying for you to go in one direction and you're going in another direction. God is saying, listen to my holy word. That's what's going to matter. In the end, listen. You have a soul. Christ has died and is willing to save you. It will be well with your soul if you seek me. He promises you. But rather, many listen to the world, don't they? The many distracting voices of the world and the flesh and the devil. Are you on the run, dear friends, from God? Like Jonah was, momentarily. Are you on the run? Are you a runaway slave to your sin, as it were? Like Jonah. Well, this is all of us, isn't it? By nature, friends, we're running away from God. Really, because of our sin. Do you really think you'll be able to get away from the presence of your Maker? Do you and I, do we really think that we're going to get away from our God? I did for years. I was like Jonah. Momentarily I thought, I've gotten away with my sin and my vanity and pride. I thought, yes, I see my brothers converted, and I see other people are converted, and they're telling me I must be converted. Telling me the word of God and Lord bringing other people and things into my life. And I really thought I'd gone away with it. And things didn't seem to be bad at the time. But dear friends, the Lord brought a storm in my life, really. And perhaps you're speaking to someone here today. And deep down you know that you're running away from your God. And you really think you know better than God, like I used to think. I used to think I knew better than God. And circumstances don't seem too bad. In fact, providence seems to favor you at this moment in time. And methinks, really, I see in every one of our lives a God raising up a storm. And this storm is a perfect storm, dear friends.
And none of us are going to escape this storm. It's no ordinary storm. We may have weathered other gusts in our life, but none of us are going to, when the push comes to shove, none of us are going to manage to get away from the perfect storm, as it were, death and the consequences of our sin. That's coming to all of us, and the judgment. There's a permanent storm, dear friends, and only God can deliver us. Not our false gods, dear friends. There's no escaping this time. And really, I can testify to that. Really, when the Lord brought a storm into my life, everything was going wrong. I lost it all, really, in a very short space of time. I had a very good job. I had a nice place where I was living. From an earthly perspective, I had many things. But very quickly, I was thrust. I opened up a business. And I lost all my money. I messed with everything. I lost the place where I was working. And I found myself really shortly going to be living in someone's attic. We've done nothing, really. And really, there were so many uncertainties in life. I knew, really, I was about to hit rock bottom. But you know, God really spoke to me in the deep. It's really when we go through the deep things, the searching things in life, really, that God speaks to us, allows. Why? Why? Well, because we're a stiff-necked people, aren't we? We can be exactly like Jonah, can't we? We can be exactly like Israel. And with the mariners we see on board, they cried, didn't they? They cried unto their gods. But what did their gods do? To help them, the gods of this world, the gods of the nation, not the gods of heaven, not the God of heaven, not the created God, they could not do a thing. Could they? They tried to loosen the things of this world, but that didn't do. And how many people do that? When troubles hit, well, I'll just try to be a better person. I'll just go to a comfortable church, as it were. Go to the Church of England, or go to a Catholic church and try to be a better person. Do a bit of religion, as it were. And try to please God that way. And I won't do this as much. I won't drink as much. I won't do these things as much. Oh, no, dear friends. God wants your whole heart. He wants it all. He deserves it all, doesn't he, friends? The gods of this world, even the false gods of religion, and there are many of them, there's one for each type of person, isn't there? You notice that? There is a religion for every single type of person, a cult and a religion. If you want to be a cherry-picking Christian, well, there's plenty of churches for that, isn't there? If you want to be a particular type of religion, well, there's many, isn't there, out there. And so, dear friends, none of these gods could help, of course. They were false gods. The gods of this world were completely impotent to help. They could not save and flee. Jonah really deep down knew this, didn't he? He knew when they cast lots. Because it was strange, wasn't it? I mean, these hardened mariners, they were on those waters for many years. But they'd never seen something arise this quickly. That's come up very quickly and suddenly. This was strange. They wanted to know the cause of this. Why have these evils come upon us? Very quickly and very suddenly. Why is this happening? Well, they knew that was a problem. It was a spiritual problem. God was angry. And they cast lots, didn't they? They wanted to find out the cause of why this was happening to them. And we know, don't we? The lot was in the hands of the Lord, wasn't it? The Lord, the lot fell upon Jonah, didn't it? And Jonah knew that this was of the Lord, friends. And he said, didn't he, in verse 9, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, and hath made the sea and dry land. That would have brought fear when he said that. And, of course, he told them, didn't he, that he was responsible. He owned up to his sin, like we all should do. Jonah was stopped, wasn't he? Dead in his tracks. He thought he had gotten away with it. But he was stopped, dead in his tracks. You're not running away from me anymore, says God. Why are you running away?
But now you're not running away from me anymore.
And dear Bodhi friends, are you still running away from God? With the life that He's given you, with the soul that He's given you? Why are you running away from your Maker? Stop running away from your best friend who can befriend your soul and save you from hell and who's laid down His holy life for you. Stop running from God.
And He sees the perfect storm coming in each and every one of our lives.
And it's just a matter of time, isn't it? Really, before the raging, proud waves of this life stir up, as it were, hit against the bark and ship of our soul. It's only a matter of time before this happens, friends. And perhaps I'm speaking to someone here, or someone who come to listen to this sermon today, that you're in a similar situation. Things seem to be going spiraling downhill in your life, as it were. You're going down, like Jonah did, and you know it. And things are just spiraling downward. They're spiraling out of control. And the days past, you've been able to weather other storms, but this one is the perfect storm. You know, really, that these things are beyond your control in your life because you've neglected the word of God. You've neglected it. I think we've neglected it, all of us, by our sinful nature. The waves of this life have had the mastery over us. They're too strong for us. God's perfect storm is upon us, isn't it? The running's over. There's going to be a stop one day as everyone's running away from God, because death comes to us all. It's just a matter of time. But God, friends, God in His mercy and His kindness and His exceeding love to sinners, He is throwing us here today, and all who listen to today's sermon, He has thrown us a life jacket of salvation for you to take hold of by faith. Take hold of the word of God by faith. The life jacket, Christ. Take hold upon Him. Tomorrow, it may not be well too late to take this life jacket of salvation. Who knows what another day can bring, dear friends? Only God does. It may be too late, mightn't it? And friends, Jonah's life jacket came in the form of a fish, a great fish, didn't it? A whale, no doubt. God prepared aforetime, didn't He? Beforetime, because salvation is of the Lord. And we know that he was swallowed up, Jonah was swallowed up by this great fish, and he was in the belly of that fish for 3 days. And 3 nights, wasn't he? In great darkness and in discomfort. He was, as it were, in a living grave, as it were, going deeper and deeper in that fish, down to the bottoms, as it were, of the ocean, entangled in seaweed, as it were. It was like a living hell for him. He even describes it like a hell. He went through all these things, didn't he? And dear friends, often when God calls a sinner to Himself, He brings us low, doesn't He? Very low. Is God bringing you low in your life? Maybe just in your heart, in your mind, bringing you low. It is often in the dark and in the painful and in the deep things of life God speaks to us the most, doesn't He? And God speaks most loudly to us in such circumstances that Jonah went through. We are told, aren't we, in Jonah 2, 1 and 2, that Jonah in his affliction, he prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly. Prayed out of the belly of his fish. Out of all his discomfort, out of all his anguish of soul, as it were, death nigh unto him, he prayed
as it were, and the Lord spoke to the fish. Can you speak to a fish? I can't speak to a fish. But the Lord did. Never discount supernatural, friends. That's a problem in our culture today. We discount the supernatural, the miraculous, don't we? Really, because we're watching it too much. And I've got in trouble by saying this many times by other Christians. Don't let your children watch supernatural stuff. You're going to take away the awe from the Word of God. Don't watch the supernatural. Don't allow your children to play things which really are demonic. You detract from the Word of God. Well, our society is so drenched, you see, within the supernatural. Action movies, special effects, as it were. And so when we come with a supernatural gospel, which is absolutely true, well, it takes the awe away. People are used to in dredging their minds with satanic things, aren't they? They're demonic, friends. And this is really why, dear friends, that the Lord spoke to him out of the fish. He really spoke to the fish. And what happened? The fish vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. He must have smelled something terrible when he was vomited out. But you know, vomit, actually, apparently is very valuable. I don't even know that. well vomit, that is. It's apparently very valuable. They use it in perfume, apparently. It becomes this kind of substance, but I'm digressing, really. But he was vomited out. And then he goes to his calling to Nineveh. And he must have been a state. You can imagine the state he must have been. People must have been terrified just by looking at him. But he preached the word of God, didn't he? Called people to repentance. Jonah testified, really, that the salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. You see, friends, like Jonah was, you may feel, when he was in that fish's belly, as it were, you feel trapped. We can feel trapped. So like, we feel like we're in a living grave sometimes. We can't get out. We're surviving just about. We've given ourselves to the things of this world. We've neglected our Maker's voice, his word. We've been running away from God. And for some time, yes, like a flower, we might have had our beauty and our glory. And so where people may behold it, but it's withering, it's dying, isn't it? And the wind passes over it, dear friends. And Jonah thought he'd gone away with it. Many people think they've gone away. And then the Lord brings a storm into our life. Perhaps a few warning shots to the bow, you know, a few warning shots. And then the perfect storm comes. And it's coming to us all, friends. And sometimes you can feel, this storm, I'm not going to be able to weather. This storm, no way. I feel like I'm trapped. My financial problems, I'm getting into debt. Relationship problems, health problems. I even got a diagnosis where it's terminal. All these things, there's a perfect storm coming, isn't there? I'm not going to live forever, like I've been told on the telly, and all these things, really. The superficial message that we've given my world, I'm going to die, and I'm going to face my Maker. I know this, but I've been suppressing it, haven't I? Oh, dear friends, sometimes we can feel trapped. We're running away from God, like Jonah. There's no way out. That's a word. There's no way out of my situation. I'm trapped. I'm in darkness. The things of this world are entangling me. They're pulling me down and down and deeper and deeper into sin. And this is what I was like. You know, I was raised as a Christian, although my mum had a hard time of it. My dad left. He said he was a Christian. My dad left when I was 14. And you know, my first thing, when my dad announced, I'm sorry to say this, but I think it's relevant. I was 14 years old. My dad said to me, he was divorcing my mum, and he said he was doing it, he was taking us to like a fun fair. He tried to make light of that, as it were. We're going to this place called N1 City, we have a great time. And he slipped in that as well.
And friends, you know, we all get it wrong. All of us. I do thank God for providing for us, but we all get it wrong in life. But you see, friends, we're trapped. We're all trapped in our sin. And we're running away from our Maker, aren't we? Running away from God. And perhaps who I'm speaking to now, maybe some here, maybe some who watch us online. Perhaps you may have been running away from God for quite some time now. And things have just gotten worse, not better. And you think these warning shots have come. And you think, well, next time things are going to get better. But they never do, don't they? Just gets worse and worse and worse. The floods of life are overwhelming you. You're in deep waters. And you know it, don't you? Why are you running from God? Why are you running from your Maker? Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. He promises. He is powerful enough to save you. It doesn't matter how dark things have got. Sin may have taken hold upon you and dragging you and putting you down and down, like it did with me, and like it did with people in my family and many others I know. It keeps on taking you down and down and entangles you. It takes you further and further away from God. Call upon Him. He is the only one powerful enough to save you. The gospel's will cannot save you. Being a good person cannot save you. Christ and only His love for sinners and what He has done on the cross of Calvary can save us. And so, friends, in conclusion of today's sermon, I must not forget to tell you that Jonah here is also a picture, an illustration, a type, as it were, a picture in Holy Scripture of Christ. Amazingly. He's a picture. You see, friends, God is angry at the wicked every day. He's angry when we run away from His Word, the one that gives us our breath and food and sustains our very life. If you rebel from the Word of God, He's angry at you. His wrath is upon you, friends. And we have all rebelled from our Maker, all of us, because of our sin. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags. The wage of our sin is death. We've all run away from God. We've all found wanton, haven't we, dear friends? God's law, dear friends, is upon us all because of our sin, dear friends. God is a God of justice. He must do that which is just. He must punish sins, else He is not God. He is a God of kindness. He wants to save you. He's a God of love. He laid down His holy life for you. But He's a God of justice. He has to punish sin. God's storm is upon us, dear friends, because of our sin. Jesus Christ was the one, dear friends, like Jonah, who was cast into the deep, wasn't he? He was cast into the deep, wasn't he? Although, unlike Jonah, he was a perfect man, innocent. He was the Son of God. He went to the cross of Calvary, as it were, and was cast upon that cross for sinners. He bore our sins on the cross of Calvary, didn't he? He was the one cast into God's wrath, as it were. God's anger was put upon Him. The innocent, the holy one, the Son of God Himself. God's anger was cast upon His own Son. Why? So that you could be free. You could be made free to love Him for who He is. Because He loves you with an eternal love. And His mercy, the door of mercy is open to you. Today, He rose, didn't He, the third day, didn't He? Like you see Jonah was in the belly, fish for 3 days, in the darkness. He rose, He was in the grave, but He rose over sin and death and has made a way for us to one day be risen with Him. He's a picture, you see, Jonah, amazingly, is a picture here. Jonah laid down his life. Although he was an imperfect person, he was going to say, if you cast me out into the storm, as it were, things will be alright. And what happened to those mariners? Well, they were converted, weren't they? Amazingly, when the storm had calmed, what happened to them? They feared the God of Israel. No longer the God of the Chaldeans. You know, all these false gods or the gods of the Arabs. No, the God of Israel, the Creator God, the Savior God. They feared Him. Now, did they? Jonah was willing to lay down his life, being an imperfect man, wasn't he? God. Yet why will he, as sinners, lay down his life for the ungodly, the sinners? And no greater love have any man than he laid down his life for his friends. God has laid down his life for your sins. He has took the brunt on the storm, as it were. So you don't have to. You don't have to take the punishment of God, because Christ has. He has taken the punishment. He can bring you into still waters and put His Spirit within you, save you, and bear away your sin. What He's done at the cross. Friends, He has done it all. It's finished. The work is done. Believe in it with all your heart, and He will save you. Jonah calmed the storm, didn't he? Jesus calmed the storm. I remember the day that the Lord saved me. The burden was taken off. And I know it's true of every true believer. It's like a big burden taken off. All these storms and things in my life, these competing ideals, when Christ came in with His Holy Spirit, that still small voice piercing the heart, as it were. Oh, that great peace. Not like the world giver. Jesus gives great peace, doesn't He? And dear friends, well, these things are true if you come as a sinner to Jesus. Amen.